Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we talk with Hall of Fame coach Mike Ditka, Bristol, Connecticut this morning, where he'll be on ESPN tonight ahead of the Indianapolis and Tampa Bay game. Mike, good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good. Brother good. Johnny, center of the universe. Johnny, a member of the National Academy of Engineering. How are you, Johnny?
We're great, Stevie J. We had a good weekend in sports. We had the Bears win. We had the Saints win. Mm-hmm. We had the Cards win. We had the Fighting Illini win. The Unity Rockets win.
Yeah.
And the Cubs did not play. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's exactly right. All right. I'm glad we can have such brain power on the radio with us this morning, because I'm a little confused. There has been protests in many cities across this great land. These protesters sat in the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge and closed it down out in New York City. And I'm still trying to figure out what they're wanting. What do these folks want? I want you, John and Mike, to listen to a few seconds, a few clips. And then fortunately, we have you two to help me understand what exactly they're asking. Let's go to the audio clips.
Doug just said that he supports the use of force if it's what?
If it maximizes social justice, if it can improve the lot of everyone, if it can increase the standard of comfort among the people, if it can maximize freedom, the ability to live our lives, and it improves our well-being, then yes, I believe there should be force.
I believe force against another human being is always morally wrong, no matter what the excuse or any individual's judgment of what is good for the rest of society. And any initiation of force is inevitably detrimental to human happiness.
All right. I mean, I agree with that. It does do bad things sometimes. Force can be misapplied. But let me ask you this. When you have a wealthy, powerful class, how do you induce voluntary cooperation on them to maximize social justice?
And then I want you to hear this.
Why do I want to be anonymous? Because who's the better representative than an anonymous person, a regular citizen, someone without a name?
I think that part of the problem is that we just have a small percentage of people in the United States who own the majority of wealth, and they also own the majority of power to make decisions that affect other people's lives.
Corralling us onto the Brooklyn Bridge and jailing us for 10 hours for no reason isn't going to stop us. Something already has come of it. We've been here for 2 weeks and a lot of people are not leaving.
Our purpose is to bring attention to the collusion between corporate interests and political interests and the disenfranchisement of the American people.
It's for all of you who are tired of watching the banks get bailed out while we get sold out.
No!
Johnny, you can start on this one. What does it all mean?
I don't think they really know what they're doing. I think they may be frustrated from what they see and hear. It doesn't make any sense to take 4 or 5 million people who may have some more power and do have impact on people's lives because of wealth and power, and reduce it to about 20 who would have even more power and wealth over people's lives. So they're just not on the right track. I don't know what they think. If they quit wasting time on the bridge, they may be able to become one of the wealthy people. Mike, I don't know. They sound confused.
Well, I'm sure that there's a reason and a place protest. I don't disagree with that, but I think that when you protest with really no specific reason or just for the sake of protesting and think you're going to affect change, I don't know that that works that way. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I understand what people are trying to say to a degree, but yet again, I listened to some of those comments and they were all over the board. So I guess I'm just naive. I don't understand a lot of it, you know. And then this thing about, you know, the money being in the hands of a few people, I mean, they got to get over this stuff. You know, they really do. Because if the money's in the hands of a few people in this country, there's a reason for it. And first of all, that's the way this system was set up. And that's these people evidently have worked harder and put themselves in a position to earn more than the other people. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying, well, because you did that, now everybody should be in that position. I don't know that you can do that. I just don't. Maybe you can. I just don't know that you can.
I don't think social justice is to get out and say, I want what's yours, give it to me, or we're going to have force. Now, you can say that's social justice because you've decided what a minimum is and what a maximum is, but I would have to disagree with that. But, you know, you talk about the few percent. You know, it starts with some ultra-wealthy, and then it goes to some wealthy, and then it goes to the little wealthy, and maybe that's a couple 2%. That's 5 million people. Then you got a whole bunch of very wealthy, another 10 million. Then you got 20 million. A lot of people have a lot in America, and everybody has a shot at it. Some of the people don't have as good a shot at it. We're working on it. But as many people have a shot at being free and doing what they want in this country as in any country that man has ever devised. So let's not wreck it and say let's have power to get social justice defined by who. That's a problem. So we've defined social justice in our Constitution. It's worked very well. It's not perfect, but it's better than anything else I've seen. Mike, we've been a little bit, you know, here and there around the world. I haven't seen anything close.
Oh, yeah, what you say is so true, John. I don't know. You want to get the government involved in this segment of life too. You got involved in everything else, and I think that's our biggest problem right now, right? And is there any way, you know, you don't want to see anybody that's on hard times, you know? And we live in probably one of the most benevolent and generous countries in the whole universe, and we have people who help people, we have causes who help causes, we have great charities who do great jobs, great work. It's impossible, totally impossible, to fix it all. You can't fix it all. You can fix a lot of it, but you can't fix it all. And the reason a lot of it is fixed is because of the generosity of those who do have something. Believe me.
You know, if you want an example of reducing social justice down to, say, one person, we've got Attorney General Eric Holder. I'm not that impressed with his ideas of justice. I don't know what he thinks half the time. He's the law enforcement man. So there'll be like 10 guys like that deciding what we're going to do.
Well,
so they're on the wrong track. They're on the bridge. They're going to probably get arrested. And they need to sit, give them a good hot meal, let them think about it. I don't know.
Well, isn't that a little totalitarian? Haven't we done that one before?
Well, that's just completely opposite of what they're saying. They're saying it's kind of like shoot them for their own good. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I wasn't completely insane, not quite understanding what they're doing. I mean, they have a lot of these little shanty towns, tents. I mean, they say they're staying. They're trying to organize in other cities. I mean, we're talking a matter of hundreds here, not thousands. But it's just amazing. That's why we need more jobs. We
got
to get.
Well, they want attention. One of the guys said it. We're trying to get attention,
yeah, right.
And they're not. They're almost rebels without a cause. They feel disenfranchised, so they want to get attention. And how they solve their problem, they don't have a clue. And I don't know how to help them either, other than hire them.
Get some
constructive work.
All right, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny here on the line. Go ahead, Mike.
One thing you got to remember, we survived this in the 60s, we'll survive it in the year 2011. We had the same people, same idea, we're going to change this, we're going to change that, we're going to sit in, we're going to overthrow this, we're going to what? It doesn't work. We can't do it. And then that's basically what they're trying to do. So, you know, you're saying, and you bring up a good point, but why would you be out working instead of doing what you're doing? I don't know. I'm not sure anybody understands it.
Yeah. All right, safe to say, before we turn our eyes to some football, safe to say this next election is going to be probably unlike anything we've seen in a while from the standpoint of turbulence.
Possibly. It's definitely a lot of passion, a lot of emotion, a bigger divide, wouldn't you say, Mike? We seem more split. We've had some pretty healthy debate, though, through the years. But this one, we seem to be more totally opposite in terms of views and agreeing. It's harder to agree. There just seems to be a more intense split between the two sides to me right now.
You're right, because the finger pointing is terrific, and it depends on which side you're on and who's pointing the finger. But you can see from both sides that they have a point. You know, well, one side doesn't want to cooperate, one side wants to do it. Well, you know, I don't have an answer, guys. If I had an answer, I would be glad to give it to somebody and try to fix it. I don't have an answer, but you're right. It's going to be a tough election. It's going to be probably a lot of harsh things said, but in the end, we'll survive it. We've survived a lot of things in this country.
All right, 744 with Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Mike, anything surprise you in the NFL yesterday?
Anything surprised me? Everything did. Comebacks all over the place. Detroit, Chicago ran the football. That surprised me. On and on. You look around the football league. Arizona found a way to give a game away last night. Philadelphia has over big throws for over 400 yards, and they get beat in a comeback. You've got to watch the 49ers, guys. Jim Harbaugh has those guys playing real football. It may not be pretty football, but they're getting better and better, and they're gaining more and more confidence. So if you watch teams all over the league, Houston sent a message to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh getting old, guys. They're not the same football team. And when you can take that ball out of Ben's hands, which they did by knocking him down, they have a hard time beating you because they haven't rushed the ball very well. So I mean,
I've been kind of on Houston's bandwagon this year because I've thought they're a different team too, Mike. They're playing much better on defense, and their offense was okay last year. Schaub's the real deal. So Houston's a good football team. So
the defense played good until they played New Orleans, and New Orleans is going to make a lot of people look bad. Like Green Bay's going to make
Green Bay. Good grief. What are you going to do about that, Steve?
I don't know. Has anybody beat them?
Well, you know what? It's going to turn out. You know, them and Detroit don't play till Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be fine.
Oh, I mean, wow.
I don't know how good Detroit is or not, but, God, you got to give them all the credit in the world for coming back the last 3 weeks the way they have. And
unbelievable. You know, too, Mike, Steve says anybody beat them. I got to tell you that the league needs to maybe on that Super Bowl game, and I'm not – I hate to sound like a whiner. but one of the three or four teams that could have beat Green Bay is the New Orleans Saints, and we play them on Thursday night opener up there, which is an edge to Green Bay, a pretty big edge for Green Bay. So the league's kind of unbalanced, and Green Bay gets a big – I think you let them play an AFC team like the Patriots if you want a big game, and then it doesn't screw up the whole NFC deal. So Green Bay got quite a feather when they were allowed to play maybe the next or one of the two or three better teams in the NFC at home on that opener. So I didn't like that setup. I'm sure it got great ratings, and that's what it's all about. But try to do something to keep the league in balance because that's going to be a tough win to make up for the whole conference.
You're talking about tiebreakers and playoff positions.
Right, when the Saints lost that game in Green Bay. Great football game. But they had an edge, and I don't know if you give – you know, so who is going to beat them? Because we don't play them again until the playoffs if we keep it up and make the playoffs.
They're not going to go undefeated, John, and people are going to have a hard time beating the Saints, too. So, you know, I think the Saints have the ability to play up to any level and that they have to play up to with their offense. I mean, their offense is special.
All right, Indianapolis at Tampa Bay tonight, Mike. You see anything? I mean, obviously, Indianapolis, wow, what a different team without Peyton Manning.
Well, they really are, and it's a shame. But they build around one guy, and that's who they are. But the one thing they can do now, I love Josh Freeman. Now, I love what he's doing. I love what Tampa Bay's doing. They're a young club. They're building the right way. But then again, the one strength that Indy has is rushing the passer. So if they can get after Freeman, who knows? They could affect the game and maybe change some things. But it's going to be tough because I really like what Tampa Bay's doing right now.
I'll tell you, I think you're right about that rush, and I also think those guys play in these big games, like a Monday night game gives Indianapolis a big chance, and that Freeney, he'll wreck a game. So, yeah, they've got a chance, and who are they going with tonight on their quarterback, Mike, do you know?
Who's
the Indianapolis Colts, are they going with Collins, or are they going to go with Painter?
I don't think Collins can play, I think it's Pointer.
Wow. He might be the better choice anyway, huh?
Yeah, I think I'd try him anyway, but I don't know.
Why not? You know, you got to reach into the hat and pull out a card. That's it.
Yeah, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, we'll take our break. Be right back in just a moment. Final segment with Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois. Okay, to the baseball playoffs. I'm telling you what, Mike, you can't turn your back on the Cardinals because they never quit.
That was a great win for them. I mean, I get this thing back to 1-1. They're going back home now. Anything can happen. I mean, you're going up. You know, I said the one thing about Philadelphia guys, they got the best pitching staff in baseball. Yeah. And if you can beat one of their top guys like the Cardinals just did, that changes everything now. the equation is a lot more balanced right now than it was going in. And it started to favor St. Louis a little bit. So you got to get excited about that if you're a Cardinal fan.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought they were toast at 4-0 early, Steve. And Carpenter, I'm thinking, 3 days got us. And then sure enough, because he only had 3 days instead of his usual 4 days to rest. But I'll tell you something. Those guys hung in there. You're right. And this is what they've done all year. And so I think it's going to be fun. Three-game series, Steve.
Yeah, three-game series, the next tour in St. Louis. And I tell you what, you beat Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee, by the way, gave up 12 hits to St. Louis last night, ties for the most ever in his career of a team that many hits in a game. Unbelievable pitcher, and the Cardinals come back and beat him. Unbelievable. So St. Louis fans, all the Central Illinois, Connect FM, Cardinal fans, all excited. And this thing, you know, Mike, you don't want to get a hot team. It doesn't matter record. You just, who's hot?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, the Cardinals could be the hot team going in. But look at that daggone Brewers. I mean, my God.
Wow, yeah.
Look at Ryan Braun. I mean, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Where do you pitch
these
guys?
Yeah.
Same thing. Tampa Bay is one of these teams, too. You got to watch now, guys. They can hit that baseball.
Yeah, it's fun. These baseball playoffs are fun. You get to this level, and the fans are in it. The players are just at their best. And every pitch counts. It's amazing.
Yeah, October baseball, and I'll tell you, the fans are in it, Mike. These places are packed. It's a big sport.
You look at the college campuses. You got a full stadium in Illinois, Michigan, and then you go and you look at all the baseball stadiums. They're all packed. Then you look at all the football stadiums, the NFL, they're packed. Then if you go look at the hockey arenas, they're packed. So I mean, it's all packed. The only thing that's empty right now is the NBA.
Yeah. Well, anybody going to miss the NBA, Mike?
Are you going to miss it?
No.
I don't know.
I'm not going to
miss millionaires whining about this and that. Now, listen, there's too many teams in that league who make no money, guys. So you can't keep paying the salaries they are. There's got to be some type of an adjustment. And if you don't make the adjustment, you're not going to have a league. It's that simple. Or you're going to have a very small league. But there's too many teams that don't make money.
And the key to a sports league is parity, because the more teams that have a chance, the better that the league will do. And the NFL's got it pretty close. I don't think you can do any better than the NFL does in terms of the parity among the cities, the teams through the cities. Because it changes fast, and next year's another year, and I think that's what you need if you have a sports league. It's not like the old days where the big-name teams for 6 or 8 years carry the league anymore.
Finally, I wanted to bring up the city of Champaign that will honor our buddy Clint Atkins, our partner, who passed away tragically April 24th. They're dedicating Baytown Drive from Boardwalk Drive to Prospect Avenue as Clint Atkins Drive. They're going to do it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., a ceremony at the northeast corner of Baytown Drive, Boardwalk Drive in Champaign. And, John, is it anybody more fitting to have an entire drive named after him?
Well, I mean, you could argue you could name Champaign after him. I'll tell you, sure it's fitting, and I'll hope to be there with you, Steve, and still miss Clint. And it's a great tribute, just a token, really, of what he did for this community. So that'll be fun. It'll be good to see people out there.
I tell you, Mike, Clint really enjoyed our golf round when we all four went out to Stone.
That's great, oh, God. That's great. It's good to see a community remember.
Yeah, and I tell you, he really, wow, what an impact. I look around this town, Johnny, you just see Clint everywhere. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. No. All right, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Mike, we'll figure out the Brooklyn Bridge and some of the protests. And I know they were protesting Vietnam back in the 60s, but this unrest does feel like that, doesn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. And, you know, that's what's so great about this country. They give you the right to do that.
Well, I don't think it's the 60s level of intensity by any means.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
A little bit contrived. Like I said, they're really not focused on what they're after. And, you know, there is corruption at the level. There is collusion. There's always going to be that at every level. You have to divide everybody up to reduce that. You don't centralize and put the great answer, the great leader involved, or that leader will become corrupt. That's the kind of the assumption of the American dream, and I think it's valid, and I think we all need to hold up our ends.
Well, and you're right.
Hey, everybody's free, but everybody's accountable.
You know what, too? I'm sure Barack Obama says, this hasn't gone how I wanted it to go. Boy. Woo. No
question. We'll see. There's, you know, like... Scott O'Hara said, tomorrow's another day.
That's right. Hey, Mike, we'll watch you on ESPN tonight. Have a great broadcast.
Take care. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you Friday.
See you later.
Thanks to Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Glad you're listening. Fox News will be next.